At 8 o'clock, we have mostly clear skies, 61 degrees in Atlantic. Looking forward to be mostly sunny today, a high of 85. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. A celebration for one giant bull is happening in Audubon this weekend. Albert the Bull's 50th birthday bash is happening in conjunction with the annual Operation T-Bone Days. Dwayne Slott, head of the T-Bone Committee, says this morning, T-Bone Days start out with a breakfast and a bake sale in the Memorial Building. The craft vendors will be available, and there is a 5K fun walk through the streets of Audubon. And he says all types of people and tractors are welcome to be on display as well at this morning's Operation T-Bone Days.
We also have a tractor show starting at 10 a.m. Saturday morning. Farm tractors, show tractors, pedal tractors, garden tractor, lawnmowers, anything you might want to bring in and display. Hopefully, we've always had a great show in the past, and I see this one should be great as well.
The Audubon City Park will host kid games and food throughout the day, and over the noon hour, live music will be performed by several local bands. The Operation T-Bone Parade goes through town at 1 o'clock today. As Lott said, there's a street dance with another local band near the beer garden this evening.
This year's band for the street dance is Mason's Basement. Mason's Basement has been here in the past. Local talent, sure to please.
The Audubon Fire Hall hosts the big breakfast tomorrow morning before taking a break in the activities until Tuesday.
You know, it's a great tribute to the community and to the cattle industry. There's 20,000 visitors stop to visit to see Albert the Bull every year, you know, from everywhere around the U.S. and then surrounding, you know, foreign countries as well. So it is a neat deal to have such a statue, a display in our town.
And Sloth says he hopes that those who appreciate Albert the Bull will take the time and show up at today's events and this weekend's event, for that matter. For more information on Operation T-Bone Days, you can contact the Audubon Chamber of Commerce at 712-563-3780. A double celebration is happening in Hancock this weekend. The city is hosting the annual Old Settlers Picnic while Botna Bend celebrates their 50th anniversary. Today's activities begins with a men's softball tournament at the Ball Diamond at 10 o'clock and a poker run. Registration in the beer garden. Vince Geyer, president of the Hancock Old Settlers Association, says he gets a kick out of the kids' games.
The kids' races is something that we've done for years. There's foot races, they have a shoe kick, and several other just small events like that. And the kids, as far as pretty much everybody gets something, whether they win or not, the kids really enjoy it. The shoe kick is always my favorite with the kids. It's funny to watch them try to kick their shoe as far as they can.
The kids' face painting that is held on the north of the White Shelter in Hancock. A dance in the beer garden with live music from Mr. Hand finishes off today's events. On Sunday, the Old Settlers Picnic serves as a pancake breakfast in the Hancock Fire Station at 8 a.m. with a church service at 10, followed by a parade, a tug-of-war event, and more live music. The picnic finishes with a benefit auction. Now, if you're more of an outdoor enthusiast, the Botna Bend Park outside of Hancock is digging in for their 50th anniversary in conjunction with today's fun during the Old Settlers Picnic. And John Fenner, park ranger at Botna Bend, says the activities start at 1 o'clock.
We're going to have the rededication of Botna Bend Park. It's just be a short presentation. We'll have some things to look at. We're going to offer some refreshments. We're going to have root beer floats and soft pretzels, kind of a nice treat on summer day.
Following the rededication, visitors will be able to learn all about the Botna Bend Park.
We have Jim Peace with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources is going to come out and do a river critters and wildlife program at 2. It'd be at 2 p.m. And then we're also going to do some guided walks. Myself and our assistant ranger, Corey Thomas, are going to take some groups around and just talk about the park and the bison and elk and just give people an idea of what we do around here and why the Conservation Board exists and why Botna Bend exists. And we'll have those for kind of ongoing for a couple hours. And our environmental education staff is going to do some tree identification programs. They also have some ongoing activities for kids. They're going to do a bird beak matching program. There's a nature quest. It's kind of like a scavenger hunt around the park.
All activities are free at the park. You can also access the Nishnabotna River to canoe, kayak, raft, or tube down the river, or fish at the park. There are only a few openings to go down the river, and if you're interested or need more information, you can contact the Botna Bend Park Office at 712-741-5465. Elsewhere in the news, a Mills County man was arrested early Thursday on a burglary and theft-related charges. The Mills County Sheriff's Office's 39-year-old James Lee McFerrin was taken into custody at around 1:10 a.m. on a warrant for burglary and theft in the second degree. McFerrin was being held in Mills County Jail on $10,000 bond. The Page County Sheriff's Office reports an Essex man was arrested Thursday at the Shenandoah Police Department. 26-year-old Paul Matthew Hughes was taken into custody on a valid Page County warrant for prohibited acts, prescription drug violation, second offense, assault on persons in certain occupations, and possession of a controlled substance, an ingredient in cannabis, first offense. Hughes was transported to the Page County Jail and later posted a $2,000 bond. He was then released pending further hearings. Authorities in Adams County report a Mills County man was arrested Thursday night following a traffic stop. 35-year-old Jeremy Potts of Glenwood was pulled over at around 9:15 p.m. And upon further investigation, deputies determined Potts was allegedly under the influence of alcohol. He was taken into custody on a charge of OWI second offense and brought to the Adams County Jail, where bond was set at $2,000. Iowa Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds will visit three communities in southwest Iowa this coming week. Her visits to Creston, Lenox, and Mount Air take place on Tuesday, August the 5th. Her first stop at 9:30 a.m. is at the Creston Chamber of Commerce, where Reynolds will attend a Connect Every Iowa event. At 11 a.m. Tuesday, she'll tour the Dalton Ag Products facility in Lenox, and at 1 p.m. she'll tour Podium Inc. Incorporated in Mount Air. In other state news, a motorcyclist from Missouri has died in a northeast Iowa crash involving two sport utility vehicles, including one that drove away from the scene. The Chickasaw County Sheriff's Office said the crash happened Friday morning as two motorcyclists were northbound on U.S. Highway 63 just north of New Hampton. A southbound sport utility vehicle, or a crossover vehicle, stopped or was stopping to turn when it was hit by another SUV, sending the second vehicle into the path of the motorcyclists. The rider of the Harley-Davidson was ejected, and he died at Mercy Medical Center in New Hampton. The first SUV, believed to be red or black or a combination of colors, drove away. The sheriff's office didn't release the names of those involved, but says the motorcyclist is from Missouri. Authorities say a woman was injured when the car she was riding struck a freight train in eastern Iowa. The Iowa County Sheriff's Office says the crash happened Thursday evening when a car driven by 70-year-old Gerald Shepveld struck a westbound train operated by Iowa Interstate Railroad east of Homestead. Shepveld's wife, 68-year-old Helen, was taken to the University of Iowa hospitals and clinics for treatment of non-life-threatening injuries. Authorities continue to investigate that crash. A former juvenile court worker in Storm Lake has pleaded not guilty to sexual abuse involving a 14-year-old female client. The Sioux City Journal reports 26-year-old Trent Prather of Esterville entered a written plea of not guilty in Buena Vista County District Court to one count of third-degree sexual abuse. Prather is accused of having sex with a girl while she was in the juvenile court system in 2008. He worked as a community service supervisor for Buena Vista County Juvenile Court's office at the time. Court documents say that Prather told the girl he would eliminate her court-ordered community service hours if she had sex with him. Prather's trial is set for November 18th. College students in Iowa are being urged to consider pursuing a career in the emerging field of the healthcare industry. Colleen Campbell is a certified genetic counselor at the University of Iowa. She organized an information session on the UI campus on Friday to talk to students about genetic counseling. She says it's part of the personalized medicine movement, as genetic counselors focus on patient education and advocacy.
You used to have genetics if you had a genetic disease and you were seen in a genetics clinic, but now genetics is being integrated into all forms of medicine, so cardiology, cancer, prenatal, OBGYN, like everywhere. And so really getting it integrated, you do need more genetic counselors as part of those healthcare teams in all those different disciplines to help not only educate the patients, but also keep the healthcare team up to speed on things.
Genetic counselors work with patients on health issues specific to their genetic profile. They also serve as an advocate for the patient by communicating with their doctor.
Doctors are really good at their job, but they also have a very short amount of time they're allowed to spend with patients, where the counselor is the person that the patient can call if they see something on the news and they have a question or they read something. The counseling appointments are typically longer, and so you spend that time really answering patients' questions and really helping them.
In Iowa, there are only 12 certified genetic counselors. The University of Iowa offers a genetic counseling internship for undergraduate students interested in a career in genetic counseling. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, one of two Americans infected with a potentially deadly Ebola virus is scheduled to arrive in Atlanta today for treatment in an isolation unit at Emory University Hospital. It has a specialized unit opened years ago to care for federal health workers exposed to some of the world's most dangerous germs. The second patient, also exposed in Liberia, will arrive within days. Residents of Toledo, Ohio, have been told to avoid drinking water from their taps because tests show the presence of a toxin possibly related to algae in Lake Erie. And officials say boiling the water will only make it more toxic. Consuming the tainted water could result in vomiting, diarrhea, and other problems. It's headed toward Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic with sustained 50-mile-per-hour winds. Forecasters say Tropical Storm Bertha will generate intense rains, but it's not likely to strengthen in the next couple of days. A day after a fragile ceasefire failed, the war in Gaza is in full swing again. Israel launched scores of early morning airstrikes and shelled the border areas. Palestinian officials say at least 35 people have been killed. Overall, more than 1,650 Palestinians have been killed, many of them civilians. On Israel's side, 63 soldiers and 3 civilians have been killed. Finally in the news, Syrian activists say tribesmen have risen up against the extremist Islamic State group in eastern Syria, forcing it to withdraw from some villages. According to the Britain-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, the extremists have been forced into bringing in reinforcements from neighboring Iraq. The Al-Qaeda breakaway group controls sections of Syria and Iraq. And in our funeral announcements, Ross Bornholt, age 83, of Walnut, died Tuesday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Ross Bornholt will be today at 10 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church in Walnut. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Michael Getz, age 82, of Harlan, died Thursday at Jenny Edmondson Hospital in Council Bluffs. A massive Christian burial service for Mike Getz will be today at 10 o'clock at St. Boniface Catholic Church in Westphalia. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Linda Lou Flug, age 63, of Harlan, died Tuesday at her home. Funeral services for Linda Flug will be today at 2 o'clock at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Clay Belcher, age 94, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at Caring Acres Nursing and Rehab Center in Oneida. Celebration of life services for Clay Belcher will be today at 3 o'clock at the First Assembly of God Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic is in charge of the arrangements. Alvin Buck Armentrout, age 93, of Irwin, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Buck Armentrout will be on Monday at 10 o'clock at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Francis Marnon, age 73, of Oneida, died Wednesday. Memorial services for Francis Marnon will be held Tuesday at 10:30 at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Oneida. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Oneida has the arrangements. Sherry Sue Winther Denny, age 55, of Oneida, died Thursday. Services for Sherry Denny are currently pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Oneida. And Mildred Harris, age 95, of Greenfield, died Friday in Ames. Funeral services for Mildred Harris are currently pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. That is a check of our news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.